Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. Well, welcome back. We're here at Radio Free HPC. I'm here with Dan Olds, as always. And we have a special guest today from PredictionMachine.com, Paul Basir. So, Paul and Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Rich? Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Welcome. And Dan, you know, I brought this to us. I actually found this. Somebody was complaining that Prediction Machine had made this prediction about Kansas City or some team, and I wanted to find out about the device. And I went on the site and thought, boy, this is all about predictive analytics. This is right up our alley, Dan.
It is, absolutely. And we're talking about sports predictive analytics. These guys have something that is pretty cool. They're predicting out all the major leagues, including college football, which has become near and dear to my heart, professional football, and baseball, probably basketball too, right, Paul?
Yeah, basketball and hockey.
NBA, hockey
starts as well. Yeah,
and you're doing this all with through doing a lot of data, but doing simulations of teams and seasons and all that, right?
Exactly, and I view simulation as the best way and the most all-encompassing way to evaluate the impact of the interactions in sporting events. So as you just kind of touched on, those are all team sports. Individual sports would be very difficult in this matchup, especially if it's something like a race, because there aren't actually interactions.
It's too bad, because I always bet on gymnastics. It's big betting for me, gymnastics and
there's
stuff.
There's not a whole lot of value in gymnastics wagering, I would guess.
But, you know, I haven't done that well. I mean, but I've done a little bit, but it's better than I've done on my Harlem Globetrotter betting. I've been betting against the Trotters and getting pretty good odds, but just doesn't seem to ever come through. Damn it.
There was that one time.
There was that one time, and that hit big. But tell us more about what you're doing and how you got into this.
Yeah, well, sure. There are mantras that we play the game 50,000 times before we actually play it. And in football, I think, is the best example. It's timely, but it's also, I think, where the most amount of eyeballs are pointing at our site, and most people are interested in from a sports perspective anyway. And we're actually accounting for all 22 players on the field and interacting on any given play. Essentially a Monte Carlo simulation, though I don't like the flat label there, because there's so much going on behind the scenes. But we basically, it's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure novel in the code, where we take the snap, we decide if it's a run or pass, if it's run, who does the ball go to, what impact does the offensive line have, what impact does the defense have, how do we layer in home field advantage, coaching, and weather. All of those things are playing a role on a play-by-play basis.
And all of this is taking into account the probabilities and tendencies of those teams.
Exactly. So we're flipping coins at each point, basically, though the probabilities are going to be altered on every single situation. And it comes up, we can come up with just a result of what our expectations are for any game and spit out box scores for fantasy football purposes or for any other reason, just to tell the story in the game and evaluate the games from that standpoint. It's been very, very successful, fortunately, as it comes to the finding value, if you will, relative to the Vegas line, because these interactions are important. And styles make fights, and even though we might say one team is better than the other team, the actual matchup, when we actually allow the players to play against each other, can dictate a different outcome. And one very short story I wanted to share with you guys right off the bat is that technology is really what's allowing us to do this. When I started doing this in 2005 with my brother, who is now still our CTO, so it's been basically the same team up until this point. At that point in time, it took me a half an hour to run one NFL game 50 times and to come up with a terrible sample size of information, but at least the fantasy projections that we wanted for both our teams and for FoxSports.com, who I was working for at the time. And we published that information on 50 sample sizes, because that's all we could do. And I once made a typo on a quarterback's running ability to the point where he ran the ball 77% of the time. Oof. Had to rerun the entire, J.P. Lothman ran for 2,000 yards and the Buffalo Bills lost every game. So don't ever try to run your quarterback 77% of the time, I'll tell you that much. I meant to put in seven.
Yeah.
But That forced me to rerun everything. It took me a day to rerun the entire season. Now,
oh, wow.
It takes me 8 seconds to run one entire NFL season 50,000 times, track all of the playoff probabilities, the scores for every game, the likelihood of either team to win, the fantasy projections that we put up on the site, power rankings, everything we might expect in a preseason preview, obviously Super Bowl projections. We can do in 8 seconds now, partially because we've gotten a whole lot smarter about how we coded it, but also because technology has certainly improved over time in terms of how quickly we can generate random numbers is a lot of it, and how quickly we can crunch big data, really, I think is a good way to phrase it.
So you've gone to, what did you say, 5 seconds or 50 seconds?
8 seconds. Eight seconds. To do, and that's from barely doing any fantasy analysis on 50 simulations of each game to now doing 50,000 8 years later. And doing that in 8 seconds of 267 games.
That's incredible.
So what does that machine look like? Is that a cloud cluster, or what are you doing there, Paul?
Oh, this surprises everyone we've ever talked to about it. It's located on one server.
Big workstation?
It's a server that we have stored at Rackspace in West Virginia somewhere, I believe. But it's ultimately just running through all those games at any given time. And we even allow our users to come to the site and rerun games. So they don't get to change the assumptions, but they get to change things like the spread. And they get to run different analysis on what might be relevant to them using our numbers. And even in that case, we've never had any issues. And technology for us has improved so much to the point we are able to, while a game is going on, using what we call the Live Scorecaster app, which is now available on iTunes and for Android, after every single play in an NFL, college football, NBA, or college basketball game, and after every inning, half inning at least, in baseball, we rerun the game 50,000 times and publish the expected results based on what's happened up until that point and what we expect to happen after that given point, which I think is the coolest thing. You guys, I think, would appreciate that more than most of the people that I talked about that. I think that's the coolest thing we've ever done.
You get to
see the impact of any given play at any given time.
Well, the thing that's great about that, so basically, I'm watching college football on Saturday. Unexpected turnover happens.
Yep.
I click into your app, and I can see essentially instantly what your analysis is of how that's changed the complexion of the game.
Exactly. It's putting things into context. I call it the game over concept, because growing up in Wisconsin, where we'd rush home from church to watch the Packers games at noon every Sunday, inevitably at some point in the second half, if the Packers were losing, which they were doing a lot of more in the early 90s than we've seen recently, but inevitably my father at some point in the second half would just look at the TV and say, game's over, I'm done watching this, which was his way of justifying that he knew the game was that the Packers weren't going to win before the game actually ended, which made him feel better about himself.
It's not worth watching anymore, and let me end the pain now, is really what he's saying.
Exactly. And so now I can do that, or if I'm at a bar with some friends, or if I'm, you know, at a Vegas sports book and somebody just wants to wager that on that with me, which is actually legal there during the game.
Sure.
You know, if any of these cases come up, I actually can put context around that. You know, and I can say, you know, the Packer-Bengal game, which I just attended and happened here recently, there was a play that shifted the win probability 71%, going from the Packers being almost assured to win at almost 90% if they picked up a fourth and one, to the Bengals returning a fumble 58 yards and ultimately scoring a touchdown on the play that shifted it to, you know, them being about 60% favorites. Exactly. But they were only still 60% favored in that game, now the Bengals were. So even though it was a monumental play and one of the biggest plays of the season, I was looking at the app at the time to try to put it into context and say, well, there's still a 40% chance that Aaron Rodgers marches this team down the field, down four, and can score a touchdown within the next 4 minutes to win, or at least, the tie was probably out of the question, but at least give his team a chance to win. So that kind of context, that kind of storytelling, I think, is one of the coolest things that we've done, and that's what's really, I think, of the greatest interest to the average fan.
See, and in my personal life, that's going to come in handy, because as you wouldn't be surprised to hear, we were big fans of the Oregon Ducks, and now finally I can tell my wife and daughter with some authority, hey, it doesn't matter if they're down, it's early. The second half is always a different story for Oregon, you know, and I can have some backup to that. which is very helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll share a quick anecdote with Oregon. We would currently have them on a neutral field as favorites over Alabama to win 34-33, a lower scoring game than most Oregon games. But there's something you can kind of put in your hat to think about as well, and that the average fan would be curious to know as well. 50,000 simulations.
But that's one of the things I wanted to point out to anybody on the on the call here. It's listening, is that at least from our standpoint, being Oregon fans, and Rich is too, you guys simulated what a playoff would look like last year, and you're simulating what it would look like with the top four teams right now, and our pals, the Oregon Ducks, have come up on top in both, which is great, and they've really kind of changed the game of football. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot of your analysis, I would imagine.
It's also given me a lot of headaches, I'll tell you that much. There is no team that was more difficult to prepare for in this is my ninth NFL season, than the Philadelphia Eagles going into the season. And there were certainties that we knew. We knew that the pace would be high for the offense. We knew that Michael Vick is a dynamic player that would get the most out of this offense of the quarterbacks that were on the roster. And we knew that the defense was terrible. But we also knew that Chip Kelly was going to do something we weren't prepared for. And obviously there's that uncertainty for me. There's obviously that uncertainty for everybody else. And so we think we have an edge over the market when it comes to evaluating a team like that. But it's still somewhat of a headache to try to get into the minds of the coach and start to see where this art blends with science. And for me to predict what he's going to do is one of the more difficult and I'd say subjective elements that we've ever had to employ, because he had no ties to the NFL game going into the season.
So there is still, from what you're saying, a fair amount of art to this, not just the science of it.
I would prefer there was no art, but there has to be. I understand enough as objective as we remain. I understand enough there has to be some kind of art. And part of that stems from the fact I've been doing this for as long as I have to the point where I can start to understand what coaches look like. There is some kind of way to translate what 100 plays a game at the college football ranks means to an NFL game, because the rules are a little bit different. You'll get a clock stopped to first down. Obviously, the defense is a little bit better, so you're not going to be able to get off as many plays. So there's a way to translate that that's subjective. But there's also the element that says, how do these guys survive that at the NFL level? And that is where we start to figure out, what does Michael Vick look like over 16 games of this? Can he make it through 16 games? What's the probability of that? We know his injury history. There's a lot of objective elements to that, but there has to be some kind of subjectivity as well to get to the mind of these coaches to understand how they're going to utilize their players and what it's going to look like for the season.
Well, I had a kind of a relativity question here for Paul. I mean, it's kind of the quantum computing piece, right? Does your observations and your predictions, do they start to affect the Vegas spread in any way?
I cannot confirm nor deny that, but I have seen on multiple occasions, I do three radio interviews a week within Las Vegas itself throughout the course of the football season and March Madness. And I can tell you that it is rare that any game that I talk about on air where the line would move against our pick. Oftentimes it moves in the direction of our pick. Rarely it would move in the opposite direction. I feel as though, I feel as though our college football totals, so over-under picks, and our college basketball against the spread picks during March Madness have impacted the line, because almost every game, once we publish those picks, which is at the same time, we make sure everybody knows when they're available at the same time every single week, once we publish those picks, we typically see the lines move on all of those games in the direction of our pick when it comes to our strong opinions on college football over-unders.
Great. So this is great, and this is a lot of fun. How's business been?
Good. I mean, the reception has been great, and we've continued to innovate. You know, one of the things we added this season was daily optimization for daily fantasy, which I think is really cool. I'm a guy, I was a finance major in college, mm-hmm. quantitative analysis, which is now business analytics, master's degree in school. And so optimizing a salary cap daily fantasy league is right up my alley. It's one of the things that I think is one of the more interesting things that can be done. And using our projections to actually legally give people the ability to make money online with fantasy leagues, we've partnered with both FanDuel and DraftKings to do that, has been one of the cooler, I think, innovations that we put together recently. Live Scorecaster has certainly taken off. It's now available in CBS on their game center pages. When you look at any of their NFL games, you can see the live win probability updating as the game goes along. And we've partnered with four or five different major media organizations with both TV and TV and online, to actually put some of our predictions and our analysis in there. So I think the interest is at an all-time high, and I think part of a lot of that has to do with the fact that reception for this kind of content, as I'm sure you guys start to understand, it beyond just the sports industry, is getting people are getting more and more comfortable with analytics and more comfortable starting to buy into this.
To trust it.
I would turn a question around to you guys and say, to what degree do you think the concept of Moneyball has really helped with the global appreciation of analytics?
That's the thing, and I would say, for my part, a lot. People can see that, and also you're speaking to a population that has almost grown up, or at least spent their early adulthood, looking at Google search results and seeing the analytics from that, seeing Amazon suggested buys, music recommendations, all that. They're comfortable with it.
Sure.
And they trust the numbers more, and it's more of analytic-led decision-making as opposed to hunches that you use analytics after the fact to support your dumbass guess.
Well, I guess really what matters is, can you beat a coin flip? And maybe it's 50, what'd you say, 51 point something percent or 53, right? And it sounds like you guys are well above that margin, Paul.
Typically, yeah, and that's where, when I started using this analysis, I had never made a bet when I was up until the age of 24, 25 or so after I was out of grad school, and I started to personally realize how successful this could be at finding value in the market. I mentioned earlier that the sports market is eminently more exploitable than the financial market, and that's because past performance is indicative of future success more often in sports, and we have, like I guess we do in finance, but you look at baseball at 150 years worth of comprehensive
data.
We have so much data on these teams that we can get it right, and that's where I have an advantage, because I feel as though the simulation allows me to leverage that at the best. It's getting the pieces of the puzzle right. It's understanding what the data inputs are for each of these players, and then how do they interact and what does that create. And we have been successful. 52.4% is all that you would need to hit as an accuracy rate against the number to beat the juice, to beat what they call the VIG in Vegas, where they take, you basically bet 11 to win 10 every time. And we've done that. We've done that more so in some sports than others. We went 11-0 one time in the NFL playoffs against the number, which is we would have given ourselves a 1 in 112 chance of doing based on our own probability, but we still hit it, which I'm happy about, and we'll say for the rest of my career. But historically, we're still when the most important thing to me is that our accuracy matches our performance, and when we say 57 to 60%, which there's usually 3 to 5 of those games in the NFL every week, there's probably about 15 of those in college football every week, that's enough opportunity for value. If we hit that value, you're going to have a very profitable full season over the course of the years, given a good sample size.
That's great stuff. Rich, why don't we just move to Vegas?
It's just way too hot there, man. I'd rather live on the sun.
Well, yeah, I'd probably, if I owned them both, I would live on the sun and rent out Vegas, maybe. But but no, I mean, this is great stuff, and I think there are others that are applying analytics, but not as many that are doing it in as transparent and as rigorous a way as you are.
I appreciate that. The transparency is incredibly important to me, because integrity from our business is important. We want return customers. We want them to have a good experience, but we also want them to know that we are honest about what we do. And to me, I have more of an academic background. Both my parents were teachers, and education is important to me, as I've kind of alluded to a few times here. Mm-hmm. And so that mindset, I think, flies in the face of most of the tout industry of the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, where getting on radio or getting on TV and talking about hitting 90% against the spread is all you did, and you just finagled the numbers to figure out a way to do that. For us, education, integrity, and honesty is important, but as is opening up this process. If you go to the site and you click on my name in the About Us section, there is a link to a presentation that has every single piece of a mathematical formula you would need to build a baseball simulation. Yeah, which I think is really cool, because I want people to tell me where I'm wrong, and I want people to learn from it. I want people to be able to do this themselves. Because nobody's got the 8 years of experience that I do up until this point, with my brother and I only exclusively looking at this in our entire professional careers. And even if somebody was able to step in and do it, they would probably not be any better than me. And if they are better, I want to learn from them. So that's something that I think is more of the spirit of a lot of people in technology, especially when you look at open source, et cetera. And I appreciate that. I'm far more in that camp than I am in the camp of, at least the stigma of the Las Vegas scammy capper, if you will. There's none of that in me. I'm more interested in creating good, cool technology with sound and sound data and sound formulas that anybody can learn from and that we can use to really better any industry.
Yeah, and that's that old model of we're going to call us right now and we're going to give you our absolute lock pick for Monday night game. Half the callers are going to get one side, half the callers get the other side. Yeah, nice. Smart business model. I wish I'd come up with it, but not exactly on the up and up. And you guys don't do that.
I think our customers really, really appreciate that, you know, in the blog and the fact that we talk about our results and we're very upfront about our results. You know, in the long run, they'll be profiting, but in the short run, we want them to understand what can happen and what variance and randomness means and how that can occur within the sporting event. And I think they've been really receptive to that. And I think we've created a niche community around our information that is certainly growing because of that, because we are not looking for the buck right now, because the business has grown steadily over time and then people are receptive to that kind of information.
Well, you're playing that
attitude.
You're playing a long-term game here.
Yeah.
And that's the only ones that are successful. You're building long-term value and loyalty.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about unpredictability, Paul. I mean, look at like the Super Bowl when the power goes out for 45 minutes. Game change. I mean, that certainly wasn't a variable, I don't think, in your model, was it?
In 50,000 simulations, that never happened once. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to add that to the simulation so that outlier shows up in our analysis and throws everything off.
Right.
Well, this has been great stuff. I've really enjoyed it. And Rich, we ought to check back in with him as we get closer to the playoffs in football and various sporting events, and see how the model's progressing, see what new wrinkles they have, and get some predictions.
Really enjoy that.
Who do you guys like in, let's see, you think Alabama's going to get beat this year?
Well, they've got a tough path coming out of the SEC. As of right now, six of the top seven teams in the country in our power rankings are all from the SEC. They're six of the seven. So the one other one, and you guys we talked about earlier, is Oregon, who's currently at number two in our power rankings, yet on a neutral field we would have beating Alabama. Now, that's in a mock playoff that you mentioned earlier, because given 4 weeks to prepare for Oregon, I think Nick Saban, even in our numbers, which would factor that in, time of preparation and how teams have approached bowl season historically, given that scenario, we would like Alabama to win by about a point. So it's probably a point either way, whether it's on a week of preparation or on 4 weeks of preparation. But it's that close between the top two teams. Alabama's been our number one team in our power rankings for 45 consecutive weeks. And the power rankings are everybody against everybody simulated, 125 teams, 50,000 times in this mass round robin, and ranking by winning percentage to get a true feel as to who would be favored over whom on a neutral field, 1 through 125. So,
and at least in
Alabama, but don't love them.
And at least in your model, you make them actually play somebody tough?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the SEC schedule itself is pretty tough. The SEC schedule, I mean, once they actually get into the SEC,
depends
West,
on the Colorado year.
State and, yeah, and
it
Georgia
depends.
Southern aren't necessarily tough
games.
Yeah,
and exactly. They were playing at Barber College a couple of weeks ago. I think they played a legal, maybe it was Ohio State that played a College of Legal Arts. Yeah, good stuff.
That happens, but it should get more exciting from now on now that we're into conference season here. We do have baseball coming up. I can tell you what we expect out of that.
What do you see happening?
In terms of our projection.
Yeah.
What do you see happening?
As of this conversation, at least, we don't know the exact bracket, but we know almost exactly what it's going to look like. We know essentially who the 10 teams are. We like the Dodgers a lot. It's more because I think the NL is easier to get out of than the AL right now. The AL has got a few of the better teams. The Dodgers, Braves, Cardinals are all good teams, but the Dodgers seem to stand out well above anybody else in the NL 20% of the time. So this is kind of putting things into context. Mm-hmm. Our predictions come the day before the playoffs start. The headlines will be Dodgers over it will likely be Tigers in World Series, prediction machine says. And if we get that wrong, people will think we got it wrong. But it's 20% of the time we have the Dodgers winning it, and about 18% of the time we have the Tigers winning it, and they only meet each other about 15% of the time in terms of that exact World Series. So there's a lot of context involved, but it would be Dodgers as the most likely team to win it all, and the Tigers look like the best team actually in all of baseball. They just have a tougher path, likely getting the 3 seed in the AL.
Well, to wrap this up then, who do you see as the Super Bowl winner this year?
I love this conversation right now because I've never seen anything before where there were two teams that had distanced themselves so much further from everybody else that you can legitimately have a conversation right now. Or the question is appropriate. Will it be Seattle or Denver or the field? It's 50-50. 25.3% of the time we have Seattle winning the Super Bowl when we simulate all the way through to the end of the year right now. And 24.7%, so exactly 50% from those two teams, is the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl. On a neutral field between specifically those two teams, it would be Seattle 24, Denver 23, another one-point game,
wow.
A classic opportunity there. Seattle winning a little bit more often than not in a game that's obviously a little bit more defensive-oriented than people expect.
Great stuff. Well, thank you so much, and we will check back in with you again to talk about some sports and predictive analytics and the model.
Sounds great.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHBC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.